chapter 6 with me, please. I still don't know how far I'm going to get, but I do want to try my best to preach as God's laid on our heart. I want to read the first 10 verses this evening of Galatians chapter number 6. Folks, if you've never read the first 10 verses of Galatians, you need to read that. And we need to read it often, and it'll help us. It'll forewarn us. It'll give us that admonition that we need to carry on for the cause of Christ. The Bible says, brethren, in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now those are 10 good verses. Any way you look at it, there are 10 good verses that will help you, that will encourage you and keep us in line through the week. And so, but I do want to say to the church, we do have some business I need to take care of. So nobody during altar call leave if you want to know what's going on. But I just want to make that announcement quickly. In other words, get y'all saying, boy, I wish you'd hurry up and preach now. Amen. So this morning we noticed verse number 1. We talked about restoration is our obligation. I didn't mean that to rhyme, but it did. Restoration is our obligation. And folks, our obligation, first of all, is to be spiritual. Amen. Amen. Folks, if we have a desire to help others, we ourselves must be spiritual. Must be spiritually minded. Amen. Not carnally minded. And I'll say more about that. You notice Corinth, they were carnally minded. In other words, the only way they could do, remember when they had that individual that was in open sin in the church? And nobody was dealing with it. You know why? They weren't spiritual. They couldn't deal with it. All they could do was agree with him, applaud him, say, that's wicked. That's all they could do. They were carnal as he was. All they could do was help cover it up, ignore it, just keep coming to church with it going on. Didn't matter about the power of God, the Spirit of God, the will of God. Didn't matter. They couldn't handle it because they didn't have anybody spiritual there. As far as I know, not one person in Corinth was mentioned. Not one church member in Corinth was mentioned as being spiritual. Now, you preachers, y'all, and you teachers, can y'all help me? Am I right on that? There wasn't anybody there that was spiritual. So therefore, when a brother's overtaken in the fault, they couldn't help him. So Paul said, if y'all not going to deal with it, we'll just excommunicate it. And then finally in 2 Corinthians, he got right with God and brought him back into fellowship. Somebody spiritual had to come in. Somebody spiritual had to deal with it. The people of church didn't like that. Those carnal people don't like, they don't like that kind of stuff. They get offended by that kind of stuff. But we have an obligation, and I want to help people, but I can't help people carnal. I want to be there. We have an obligation. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Now we understand that word overtaken means to be surprised without dictation or fault, a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness, a sin, a misdeed. So he's overtaken. Again, we mentioned this morning being overtaken didn't mean they were planning on doing it. It wasn't premeditated. God's people shouldn't be thinking and planning on sinning. We shouldn't be setting up a stage or setting up a place to go sin. Hello. That's a different situation. But the Bible said he that's been overtaken in a fault. In other words, it come on him. He wasn't just, we used David. Folks, we even use Peter. Hey, Peter said, Lord, all shall deny, but I won't. All shall be offended, yet will not I. He wasn't looking to deny Christ those times, but he did. Christ tried to forewarn him. And see, the Lord put that in the Bible for our admonition. Don't ever say, I'll never do it. Peter did. He said, I'll never do that. They will, but I won't. They didn't, but he did. Of course, they all fled. But the ones that fled didn't run their big mouth and say, I'll never do it. Best thing to do, keep your mouth shut. Amen. The best thing to do, be quiet. And quit talking about how spiritual you are. Spiritual people don't talk about how spiritual they are. They just show you. Amen. So, overtaken. So, the restoration, our obligation. We are to restore such a one. Now, we understand what restore means. And it means to bring back to its original state. And you know, you watch people. My wife likes to watch these shows where they buy these houses that are completely dumps and they bring them back to life. And that's a pretty process. Yeah. And I admire people who have that talent. Amen. I'm the demolition man. But I admire people that have the vision for that. They have a vision because they have learned the trade. I'm going somewhere. And they have a vision for it, and they bring it to pass. And it takes time. It takes patience. Come on. It takes understanding. It takes labor. It takes sweat. It takes tears. But if you'll stay with it faithful, they can restore that house. Same with a car. They can restore cars now, and they're worth 10 times more than they was when it come off the factory line. But if you see them, they take time with it. You know what? It costs them some money. It costs them some sacrifice. And folks, how much more is our brethren? We are in the restoration business. See, we already know what God can do. We all know what God will do. We got to get down to that place to receive that. Repentance. Turn from it, turn to God, and then see that if they'll confess their sin, he'll be faithful to forgive their sin, and they can forsake that sin, get up. If it has to make restitution, and they can be restored, and it's going to take us time. But spiritual people will take that time. Spiritual people take that time in prayer. They'll take that time with them on the phone or with them at their house. They'll take that time trying to help them to get back to where they're supposed to be. So many times we just forget about them. You see these people, they'll put on there, and I don't know how much it's true, but they say a barn find. They'll come out in this old classic car that somebody's forgot about it. They'll buy the property and they'll find that old vehicle in there. They'll drag it out with a tractor or something. Wow! That car was there the whole time. Nobody cared. A priceless gem sitting there the whole time. Nobody cared. But somebody come by and cared. And they got it out of that mess. The labor and the cost and all that went, the sweat, the blood and tears, all because it was worth it to them. Folks, Christians that fall ought to be worth it to us to restore them. Don't forget about them. Don't just focus on, well, when they fail, let's focus on when they got restored. Knowing that God can restore them and he's going to use us. God has chosen to use us to restore them. That's what he said. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual. God gave that job to the local church, by the way. That's a local church job to restore. You know anybody that's failed? They're out of church. They give a biblical testimony of their salvation. They were overtaken in a fault. And they fail and they have gotten out of church. Or they have went wayward and compromised. And in an unbiblical place. What are you doing about it? You going to restore them? You going to try to restore them? That office, that job was that ministries given to the local church. And then we see that there is a common reality. If a man be overtaken, But then let me go on. I said, looks like I'm going to camp out right here. There is a clear requirement, ye which are spiritual. See, not everybody in the local church can practice ministry, but you can if you get spiritual. Come on. See, let me read this verse. I tried to quote it a while ago and talk about it in 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that which he hath done this deed be taken away from among you. In other words, you're just letting it lay. See, they didn't even have the ability to restore this man. See, they fail to recognize a fault as a fault. They will deny that a man is overtaken. They'll deny that he's overtaken. They will even help you cover up your sin if you ask them to. They will see no need to biblically restore. They will abuse or subvert true restoration. See, there's a clear requirement. Ye which are spiritual. Then there's a considerate restoration. Consider the fallen. Restore such a one. Such a one what? That's fail in the spirit of meekness. Word restore means to mend, to repair. God believes in restoration. God wants to restore the fallen to full fellowship. God wants to restore the fallen to the joy of their salvation. God wants to restore the fallen to a place of usefulness and service. Are you with me? But then let's go to verse number 2. I just preached my whole message this morning right there. Let's go to verse number 2. We see the restoration, our obligation, but then see in response to others in verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, response to others. Now, folks, get this. The law of God and the law of Christ. Now, there is a difference. See, the Lord said, Jesus said, all the commandments are wrote up in two things. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second's likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's the law of Christ. See, instead of now he wants us to restore, and now he wants us to encourage. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, folks, verse 2 and verse 5 is not a contradiction. There's two different burdens spoken of there. And I'll get to that. Verse number 2, when a man, not only he may not have fallen, but he's about to fall because there's a burden that he's carrying. And that burden has got heavy. And if someone doesn't help him bear it, he's going to fall. Get a hold of that. See, we see good people carrying burdens, and if we'll just let them carry them burdens themselves, they're apt to fall with that burden. Have you ever tried to carry something yourself and it buckle your knees? It's so heavy. You ever try to carry something on your shoulders and it bends you low? Burdens are heavy. Burdens are tiresome. Burdens cause God's people to lose sight of some things for a moment. And if we don't get help bearing those, we'll fall. See, not everybody falls because they fall into some sin unexpectedly, but some fall because they don't get any help with the burden. Come on. That's the ministry of the church. You see a brother or sister carrying a burden? Hey, lift up under them. Help them. Be with them. Touch them. Are you listening to me? So we find response, that we have a response to each other. We have a responsibility to each other. Your burdens ought to become our burdens. Are you with me? Your burdens shall become our burdens. Yeah. This stuff, to each his own, and me and my four no more, that's as unbiblical as anything. Bear ye one another's burdens. But then in verse 3, we see a ridiculous observation. He said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So now we see a particular sin, a fault. Then we see a burden. Then we see pride could cause you to fall. You seeing this? Are you seeing this picture? See, the Lord's trying to get us to help each other. But now he's warning us. Man carrying a burden could fall. We better help him. But then he's warned us here, a man that thinks he's unfallible, if that's a word, he might fall. I don't know if that's a word, but it's a word tonight. He's infallible. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Some people fall deceiving themselves. Oh, I ain't going to fall. There we come with the Apostle Peter complex. I ain't going to fall. That's not going to bother me. There is a sin which does so easily beset all of us. You better be careful. The Lord exposed Peter's pride when he denied Christ. You're never too tall that you can't fall. He said, for if a man think himself to be something. Now what do you mean? Now, folks, get this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking less about yourself. Not less of yourself, but less about yourself. Are you understanding me? See, when I'm humble, I hate myself. That's not humility. That's a form of pride, too. I mean, you can't. Oh, I can't. I'm just pitiful. That's the other side of pride. It's still all about you. So the Bible's not telling us to think less of ourselves. Just think about ourselves less. Are you getting that? We're not told to think less of ourselves. Just think about ourselves less. Man, when he thinks himself to be, folks, it's hard to be around folks like that. It is. It's hard to be around folks like that. I know a man that took a church a few years back. Him and his family took a church. They pastored his church. And me and my wife seen them out somewhere. They hadn't been there long, and we was talking to them. And they was talking about they was having some activities at the church. And they had, what do you call them things? It was some type of, it was a Bible thing. Like you go find this, you go find that. There you go. And they had done that. We saw them out in a store or something. And this was the words of the pastor's wife. Of course we won. In that spirit. Of course we won. And 3 months later, of course, they run y'all off. And that was a fact. Amen. And he came to me and Brother Jerry and said, I guess I'm going to have to get a job. I said, I guess you are. But anyway, y'all going to be wondering who it is. Let me stop. Verse number four, rejoicing by oneself. Look at verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Hey, when God uses your life, you can rejoice about it. Alone. Have rejoicing in yourself alone. It's not a private rejoicing. It's rejoicing. God, you're using me, and I can't thank you enough. Lord, praise the Lord. You let me win somebody to Christ. You preach to me, Lord. You give me unction from the Spirit. The altars were full. Thank you, Lord. That's in yourself alone, because if you do that publicly, even if you didn't mean it wrong, people take it wrong. Hello. Then we see in verse 5, reaction of obedience. Let every man, for every man shall bear his own burden. Well, preacher, the Bible just said we're to bear one another's burden. Verse 5 is a task at hand. take up your cross and follow me. Hello? That's the burden spoke of in verse 5. Burdens is troubles and trials in verse 2. Things that weigh us heavy and are hurting our heart and our life. Those we're to bear, each other's burden. Folks, you're not to, I can't say, hey, come up here and preach for me. God called me to preach. You teachers, you singers, no, bear your own burden. I have a burden to bear. You say, preacher, you call that a burden? The Lord did. Not meaning that I hate it. It means it's a task. It's labor. And God's given me a cross. The Lord said, you can't be my disciple if you won't take up your cross and follow me. Crosses are heavy. Come on. Crosses get heavy. But the Lord said, you got to carry your cross. Well, why can't somebody carry my cross? Because they got a cross. Are you carrying your cross? Are you the cross that God has given you to carry, to bear, are you bearing it? Are you bearing your cross? And bear that cross with humility. We don't want to hear what you can do. We want to see what God can do through you. Amen. Verse 6, we see our responsibility to others. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Preacher, what do you mean? What you learn, you share. Hello? What you learn, you share. See, folks, when God gives you a word in the Word, it's not just for you to keep it to yourself. He may open the door for you to teach a Sunday school class and you share that word. You may get an opportunity to preach and you share that word. But you know what? You may be sitting at somebody's house drinking coffee and eating cake and that subject comes up and you get your Bible and you share that word. Well, the Lord's never had me share a word. If you get in His Word, He'll give you a word and you'll want to share it. You know, when you're talking to people, well, that's you, the preacher. You just put, no. Everybody ought to know their Bible. Everybody ought to know the Scriptures. Again, we're all students of the Bible. Everybody here, from here down, we're students of the Word of God. Everybody here is. Nobody has arrived in the Word of God. Nobody here can stand up and say, I know it all. And you'll never stand up and say it. But we'll be learners of it, students of it. And folks, you realize God is no respecter of persons. You're His child. He loves you as much as He loves the preacher who's His child. So what's that saying? He wants to talk to you as much as He wants to talk to me. So don't get it in your head, well, only God talks to the preacher. No, that's Catholicism. That's what they teach people. A God only talks to the priest. Uh-uh. He ain't talking to them either. You said, well, that's awful. They ain't saved. Amen. You can't be saved by grace plus. Salvation is done in Christ alone. Anybody deviates from that's not saved. I don't care what denomination they are. I'm not picking on one denomination. I'm just telling you, hey, but God, if you're born again, you're a child of God. If you're getting His Word, He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. He'll say, He'll begin to speak to your heart and open up the Word. Next thing you know, you're cross-referencing. You buying a commentary. And you begin to dig. And folks, if it comes from God, I'm telling you, you won't be able to share it. You've got to share it. But I said, you've got to share it. Verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Verse 7 through 9, we see a responsibility to others. In verse 6, 7 through 9, the reaping order. Be not deceived. Hey, don't convince yourself otherwise. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be careful. Don't you think you're going to mock God. Preacher, how do I mock God? Living your life like you'll never give account of it. That's how people mock God. Remember, Paul's writing to the church of Galatia, the brethren. He ain't talking to unsaved people that mock God. He talking to saved people that can mock God. How do we mock God? Thinking we'll never give account for our lives at the judgment seat of Christ. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Listen now. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, folks, doing it right may not be popular now, but you'll reap if you faint not. Living without compromising seems awful now, but you'll reap if you faint not. Be not deceived. Don't live a life mocking God, living like you'll never, he has no say in your life. Like he has no control of your life. Like he can't turn. Hey, like he ain't got no business. Hey, it ain't his business. People nowadays, I don't care what, it ain't none of the preacher's business. It's the preacher's business to preach the truth to you. And it's God. Hey, sure, in God's business what you do with it. And if you live your life like I'm not listening to that, he ain't telling me nothing, I'm doing my own thing, that's mockery. You're mocking God doing that. You're going to reap that. You sow. You're going to reap that you sow. And the old illustration in this garden time, what you put in the ground will be what comes up. What you sow into your life will be what you reap in your life. In verse 10, there's a realistic opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Folks, are you doing good when you can do good to people? See, not every opportunity is not your opportunity, but God will give you an opportunity to be good to somebody. Are you being good to them? God uses us in different ways. I've told y'all this story a million times about my daddy. When he first got saved, he got laid off, and we were already poor. Had three young'uns, little young'uns, didn't have money. And he done got aggravated, and he said, "Hey, I'm going back to the world." But he got on his face one more time and asked God to have mercy on him. "Lord, you see what I'm going through." And while he's getting off his knees, a knock on the door came. A man was at the other end of the door. Daddy told me his name. I can't remember who it was. He said, "I ain't got time to argue with you. My daddy needed help, but he wasn't going to take help." You know how it is. You know, men, we need it, but I ain't taking it. But anyhow, the man said, "I ain't got time to argue with you. I was way over here somewhere else, and God told me, he spoke to my heart to come bring you this money. Now here's this money. I'm late. We ain't talking, we ain't discussing it. Here, God said do it." God gave you an opportunity. God used that man to keep my daddy from going back out in the world. God showed himself real that day. And from then on, he trusted him for the next need and the next need, and God gave him opportunity after that to help people. A few years ago, before he passed away, he'd get stuff that overruns or something at Mascot Home, old carpet and stuff. Then he started going to a flea market over in Far City somewhere and selling that stuff. My daddy didn't have much sense. Somebody asked him, did he have a refrigerator over there for sale cheap? Daddy said, I might have a damaged one. He said, where's it damaged? He said, I ain't damaged it yet. But he had a big old piece of carpet over there, that pretty piece of carpet, and he had it for sale. And some of these guys, you know how men are. They're trying to get it for nothing, and you know, you're trying, you know what? You know, I ain't gonna say what we call it. You know what we call it? And anyway, and this little old woman came up. She got looking at it. Then she began to kind of talk to herself. A little black lady, she said, man, this would go right good in my house. And she was just talking. She wasn't talking to nobody. And the Lord said, that's who the carpet goes to. See, God gave you an opportunity to do right, do good to somebody. And he said, ma'am, he said, you want it? You can buy it? She said, I don't have even like $2 or $3. He said, huh, I just put it on sale for that. Those guys, it's probably $200 worth of carpet sitting there. God gave him opportunity to do good. Right. Folks, that's for the church. Right. Stop trying to analyze and say, well, God puts it on your heart, then do you convince yourself they don't deserve it? Folks, we don't deserve Jesus. Right. We don't deserve salvation. Right. We don't deserve it. Hey, you begin to convince yourself, huh? They did this, they did that. Hey, what did the Lord tell you to do? What do good when he gives an opportunity. Quit trying to worry and figure it out. Just give it. Do it. Because I got news for you. You will never outgive him. You can try, you can try, you can try, but you'll never do it. Now we don't give, so he'll give, but if you'll be obedient and give, you'll never do without. You'll never do it. These verses are good verses. I just got this message everywhere tonight. But it's helped my heart. These verses help me. Don't ever get to the place where you're just not going to do good to people. Because you don't feel they deserve it. God loves his children. And there's people in this church, you don't know I know it because you ain't doing it for me. But I find out how good you are to people. How good you've been to people. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, you don't have to brag on yourself, but let others do it, and others are doing it. You ain't even got to talk about it. Folks, we are joint heirs with Christ. That $50 God told you to give somebody, that's nothing compared to our treasures in heaven. That $100 God told you to give somebody, that $500 God told you to give somebody. Come on now. You're not going to miss it. I mean, you're going to hoard it up, save it up, and then your youngins and grandkids are going to get it and spend it in 30 days. On nothing. Amen. Just disobey God. Be good to people. God bless you. Amen. Let's all stand. That's just the thoughts God gave me today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Altar's open. If God's touched your heart, you need to come pray.